Welcome to Karate in the Garage. I'm Corey Culp.
I'm Freddie Wolf.
We have movie number two for you. And you're right off the bat. Boom. Let's just get right at it. I think we're officially calling. The Butler Did It.
Sure.
Or not. You know, that one or the first one you came up with pretty good too. Ring the Butler. That works.
Yeah. Either way. However you guys want to digest it.
But I think if we're going to give one title or the other to a specific movie, if we're going to say which one of the two we're going to give it to, almost like an A or B version title for the movies we're covering this month, I feel Law Abiding Citizen gets, you know, Ring the Butler. I mean, it's a it delivers everything it promises. And then Gamer may fit the Butler Did It. Maybe it's not as good as...
Because I'm going to say, if Butler wasn't in this movie, I'd turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
I'm just being real. And there's other things that are good about it, but like if Gerard Butler is not in this movie, I don't watch it.
Yeah. Like we talked about in Law Abiding Citizen and other things that he's been in, he's so fucking good in it. I'm just going off the bat. It not only is if he wasn't in this, you would have turned it off, but he just still kind of draws you in. And
yeah.
And he's still intriguing to watch on screen. Everything going on, I don't know, the movie, and I know that the energy they're trying to create, this movie pilfers from so many sources, and obviously the one that's most up there and most out front is Running Man.
Yeah, dude, this is the Running Man for this generation.
Yeah. And I have to think this generation doesn't want this movie because it didn't make any
money. It didn't make any money. Nobody went to see it. I mean, it's kind of just a weird misfire. Like, I mean, right. I feel like, I don't know what went wrong. I mean, is the screen? I mean, maybe I don't know. The script's not all that intriguing. There's a lot of annoying technique to this movie, which for me is what turns me off to it.
Right.
There's a lot of it I just don't like. And it's not even that it's dated now. I don't know that I loved this movie, even the first go around. I'm gonna try to stay positive about the things I do like and not go off on a tangent about shit I don't like. Dude, Ludacris is in it. That's a bonus. Amber Valletta, who we covered in was it Dark Silence? Is that it? Right?
Dead Silence.
Dead Silence.
But also, well, What Lies Beneath.
What Lies Beneath, correct. Ali Lohman, who we love from Drag Me to Hell, and Matchstick Men is in it.
Yeah.
Kara Sedgwick. Dude, Kara Sedgwick is so much fun. She's my second favorite thing in this movie.
So forgot she was in this until she shows up.
Totally.
I'm like, oh, shit.
But she's so good. I like her when she steps out of that, you know, the box that we've all put her in, you know, from the other things we'd seen her in. Julia Roberts' sister in Something to Talk About, or you know, Campbell Scott's doomed, you know, no fun girlfriend in Singles.
Yeah. And you know what? Singles, you feel every emotion throughout that relationship.
It's like, a rough go, dude.
You can't stand her, then you're in love with her, and then you empathize, and then you sympathize. Yeah, dude, that Cameron Crowe, dude, I swear, it's still my favorite movie of his that most people have never seen. So watch Singles,
She hits all of, you know, she hits all those buttons in Singles. And again, it's funny because for the most part, like, my dad only ever referred to her as, you know, what was her fucking character's name on The Closer?
Oh, I don't remember.
I mean, but that's my dad, literally. And I feel like a lot of people just know her from The Closer and its spinoff, you know. It's weird. Or they know her as Mrs. Kevin Bacon. But this movie, she's great. And I'm just going to plug Villains as well. She's fantastic in a film called Villains.
Dude, that's the second time we've referenced some Villains.
I know. We've talked about Villains before.
Because it's good.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, it's a big budget movie. It's funny because there's a lot of Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then there's a lot of CGI.
Okay, so when they're running around, the setup of the movie is this. It's like, these are real people. This is year 2034 or something like that. So 10 years in the future from now. And at that time, it was 35 years in the future when 2009 dropped this movie.
Right.
It's basically the people are running around, real people.
It's like Sims.
Yeah, there's actually two things that are happening on the show, in the movie. There is a Sims lifestyle called Society, and Slayers, which is this third-person shooter that our star, Gerard Butler, is part of.
Cable.
And basically what it is just a third part. It's a third person shooter game where gamers control real people. And all these guys are very much like Running Man. Yeah, you're all convicts. And if you participate in this and you win, then you will get released. But just like with Running Man, the game is fixed.
Yes.
As you discover, and it's being fixed by, unfortunately, not by Richard Dawson.
Unfortunately. It's being fixed by Ken Castle, played by Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall, and he has his moments where you see why he was enjoyable in that first season or so of Dexter. But then he just becomes this thing where it's like, you know what? I'm not disliking you for the reasons I should be disliking you. I'm disliking you because I don't care for the performance. The character is fucking thinner than tissue paper, and there's not much to it. For an adversarial character like that, at least with Richard Dawson and Schwarzenegger in Running Man, there was interaction between the two of them. And we don't get any interaction with these two until the end of the third, towards the end of the third act.
Right.
Defeats the purpose. You know, every good action movie, thriller, the two counterparts run into each other multiple times in there. You have to have that. It's just, you just have to have that. And it doesn't have that. And you're just kind of super annoyed by it. So we talked about Upgrade on the show before, not as a full episode. But the thing about Upgrade, it borrows from places. Again, we talked about it on Kickstarter once. It borrows, I don't want to say liberally, but, you know, but lovingly, and it's cared for and it does its own thing. I feel like every little thing that came from that they took from that Neville Dean and Taylor took from, they just kind of just literally took from them and then sort of changed it a little bit. I just feel like there's no effort there to make it their own. I feel like, and the stuff that is their own is just ridiculous.
It's annoying. I mean, there's just too much gimmickry going on in this movie for me to like it. Like, I feel like it just doesn't feel like, I don't know. It annoyed me more than anything. I was annoyed. I never felt like I didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right.
There's just a lot of, you know, like, again, I mean, I don't want to single out bad performances because I feel like the bad performances in this are from bad direction that was given to the actors. So I'm just going to keep that to myself. Some of the action sequences are interesting, but I mean, they're not even really, even the action isn't really staged like in a way that's exciting. I feel like it's all very generic and it's just sort of absurd. I feel like I'm getting a bunch of leftovers, like, you know, not even like Thanksgiving leftovers the next day while I'm watching football. I'm getting like, you know, these are like, this is the end of the refrigerator, like a week after Thanksgiving, and you're scraping and you're making turkey soup and shit that maybe I'll eat those fucking sweet potatoes, scrape the marshmallows off of them. I'm not a big fan of the way the movie is. I don't know. There's just nothing that jumps out at me at this movie. Like I said, if Butler wasn't in it, I would have turned it off.
Yeah.
Then and now.
Yeah.
He's by far the best part. You know, because there is that everyman thing to him that like makes it relatable. Like, you know, you want him to be reunited with Angie. But again, you know, it's just, I don't know. The movie just doesn't work for me like the way it should work, I guess, or the way I would hope it would work. You see everything coming a mile away.
When you're watching Running Man, one of the things that is so cool about it is everybody has a character that they love. You know, it's not the competing convict that they're all excited for. They want one of the Running Man's in-house killers. Everybody's got a fan favorite. Like it's like a wrestling thing, right? Professional wrestling. Sure. I want my guy. You don't really get that in this. You get one person. And after 15 years of seeing Terry Crews and other things, you're not menacing, dude. I can't help but fucking laugh every fucking time he's on screen.
Dude, all I think of is fucking Friday After Next. His character, Damon.
Oh, no. For worse than that, every time I see him in White Girls in this movie. I'm like, he's White yep. Girls. He's sitting there singing his Vanessa Carlton song. I'm like, oh my God, dude, I can't.
I know.
Anytime he showed up, I was laughing, going, I can't take you seriously, dude. I can't.
I know. I'm with you, dude. And Leguizamo shows up doing exactly what you would think Leguizamo would be doing. Zoe Bell shows up doing exactly what you would think Zoe Bell would be doing. The one thing that I was excited for a moment, and I was like, I can't fucking believe John Delancey is in this movie.
Yeah.
And I had totally forgotten about it. And I was like, oh, how cool. And then he's gone.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Cause he probably was like, thank you. And I'm out.
What are you going to give me?
David, dude.
What? Okay.
What a wasted cameo that
I've
was.
I've never seen so much like,
yeah, I don't know,
dude. Like they just, yeah.
And again, second movie where we get a Lloyd Kaufman cameo.
Well, of course you do.
But this isn't even as fun as a trauma movie, honestly. I mean, the thing about this movie seems long, dude. And it's only like, what, an hour and 34 minutes?
Yeah.
But this movie seemed twice as long as Law Abiding Citizen for me.
That's the thing about with like Running. Again, I'm going to make the comparison of Running Man more than anything because you know, its core, that's what this is. Even when Arnold wasn't on screen, there was something going on that was entertaining.
Yeah.
And with this, again, the only reason we kept watching it, well, not because we agreed to watch the movie for the show, but, you know, if you were just watching, if this was a general watch, you wouldn't watch it if somebody as charismatic as Butler wasn't in the lead role. I mean, who cares? And again, just like with Arnold and Running Man, you know, thankfully, gosh, I'm so glad they didn't go for the one-liners. You know what I mean? The, you know what I'm saying? Because it could have been really...
Yeah, thank God.
It could have been a rough go. Just,
if you want to make this movie worse, that's how you could have done it.
Again, we're 10 years with this after The Matrix, and yet they still felt the need to put some Matrix shit in there too.
Yeah, and they did it poorly. I mean, it wasn't even done well.
Seriously, goes, are you the ones that got me out? Out of what? You were in prison. Out of what?
Yeah,
it makes no sense how that all happens.
This movie is a mess. It just feels like I don't know if it's a too many cooks spoil the broth kind of thing, or maybe. You know, the studio behind the movie didn't, I don't know, interfering too much with the directors. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Crank 2 either, which is also their shtick.
Yeah.
I don't know. The movie's just real sticky for me, and it's not like good sticky. Like the gross kind of pervy guy who plays her character, you know, who's Angie's
dude
controller. I mean, it just all feels like so, like they're trying so hard, dude. Like none of it works for me. Like I'm just like, fuck off. Who cares? No. You're just fucking ugly, dude.
When you make those jokes about...
They're trying so hard to make it...
I know. If there was anything that was accurate, like especially now with gaming, but just people in general online, if you look at society, the two games in the Society and Slayers, or you look at both those things as social media,
yeah,
it makes a lot of sense, you know, two very obese individuals representing very good looking people inside of a game.
Yeah.
Sound familiar? Yeah. We deal with it every day if you're on social media. People hiding behind something that they're not.
Avatars, et cetera. Yeah. I mean, and again, sure, I get it all, but I just feel like it's all so obvious. It's just not presented in a way that, you know, I give a shit about it. It's just like, again, you see everything coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Of course that guy is going to be the one playing Angie. It's just, I don't know, man. It's just,
yeah.
I do like the humans aspect to it. Like that's right. Ludicrous basic playing, playing Dweezil Zappa.
Right. Essentially.
I mean, that's, you know, that whole story again, at its core, this is just The Running Man and they borrow lots of elements from it. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, The Running Man is a movie. I'm shocked. Has it just been remade yet? As The Running Man, you know, they're remaking every Stephen King thing ever done. I feel like that thing's got to be next.
Right.
You know, probably somebody couldn't get the rights to make The Running Man in 2009, and they made this.
Right. Beyond the obese individuals controlling people in society, we only really meet one gamer that is controlling anything in Slayers, and that's Simon. Plain Simon is Logan Lerman, who you guys know from the Percy Jackson series, but most recently we talked about playing the son in Bullet Train. playing Charlie in Perks of Being a Wallflower. I'm trying to think of what else. 310 to Yuma, he's in. He's in a lot of stuff. And he's fine in it. He plays that nerdy gamer teenager perfectly. And again, he's one of those other highlights. But and part of you is like, and they keep him on the screen the right amount of time. He's not there too much. I just think there's certain characters in there that outstay their welcome. And like you were noting, those moments with the wife, what she's having to do. Here's the thing. One time.
Yeah, man.
All you have to do is show me one time what she's having to do to keep her family fed. You know what I mean? I didn't need to see it a second time or a third time.
No.
It's a 93-minute movie. Do you really think you need to put filler in there? Or are you just
It feels like they didn't have enough story. It's weird, but it also feels really long. Like, I feel like there's a lot of shots, especially during the, during the gaming part.
Dude.
Where they've got all the guys running through shooting each other in an abandoned train depot. Yeah. That's that location, that giant wreck with all the windows and you know, we shot there on Terminator Salvation. And you see it in Terminator Salvation too, a lot, but there's a lot of that. Like, I feel like there's just a lot of B-roll that they keep putting it. They're like, oh, just cut to the, I don't know. Like, I don't know what happened with this movie. It feels like there's a lot of B-roll because they didn't shoot enough. They didn't get enough shot or whatever, but it also for 95 minutes, God, it drags so much. You're just kind of like, get on with it, man. By the end where the big showdown between Michael C. Hall and Gerard Butler, which we all know Gerard Butler would snap Michael C. Hall like a twig, but of course he's that guy who
they did was clever, and I'm not worried about ruining anything for this movie for anybody.
Me neither.
But you're right, Gerard Butler would tear the shit out of him. Now Michael C. Hall he's a fit guy. He's but he's not a big guy. But also in the movie, they have him. Castle has control over him, and he basically freezes Cable.
Right.
To our Butler's character, and he starts kicking the shit out of him. At least they are good at showing the fact that we all know that he would fucking beat his ass if he had full control over his capacities, right? At least I thought that was interesting that they did that. But so much like we talked about, I mean, I made the comparison to Upgrade. This movie borrows from things and just literally gives you the lowest common denominator.
Yes. It takes the worst parts of, like we said, I think was it last week we were talking about like how Law-Abiding Citizens kind of cherry picks all the best things and figures out how to make them work. This picks all the worst things and can't figure out what to do with it. Low hanging fruit is what I'd like to call it.
Yeah. This is that soup or that goulash that we said that you end up with when you pilfer from too many places.
Yeah, that's what this is.
Yeah.
You don't. Yes.
You got to taste the meal as you're making it and adjust accordingly.
Yeah. Add salt. usually is how you fix that. This movie's lacking salt.
Yeah. Add your salt as you're cooking. You add salt and pepper. You're supposed to spice as you go. And I think that's where this movie suffers most. There's no...
I've never heard this movie talked about. I don't know any people who revere this movie. Like, oh my God, you didn't like Gamer? No one's ever said that to me.
Wait, we're not going to get any hate mail for not loving this movie. That's what I'm sure of.
I mean, maybe we will. I don't know. But I just have yet to run across anybody who, like... I don't know a lot of people who've, like, as far as, like, I mean, I know people have seen this movie, but I don't know a lot of people, like, who are like, oh, man, yeah, Gamer is, like, that hidden gem. Nobody's ever said that.
No.
I mean, not to me, anyway.
You're not hearing that from us as much.
It just comes from a period where people were cranking out. I can't believe that, this is what you got. It was a $50 million movie, and this is what you got. There's a lot of really, there's a lot of really bad CGI in it for 2009.
Yeah.
There's not much good I can say about it, so I'm just going to not say a lot.
2009, what was the percentage kickback for New Mexico?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to say it was probably 40% tax incentive. It was about 40% probably. Gamer was just finishing. They were when we were getting there to prep Terminator Salvation. So they probably shot it in 2007. So it took a couple years before it got to screen because I feel like it came out the same year as Terminator Salvation, and they had long wrapped camera before we even started shooting.
Yeah. When we talked about these kind of movies, I'm not sure if I mentioned Gamer when we were talking about Dread, but it's, I think Dread was several years after this, but Dread could have easily been this. It could have easily been,
yes,
a mess like this. And I think a lot of people thought it was a mess and didn't go see it. It still made money, but Gamer, I watched the trailer just for the sake of like going, because I got to the end of the movie, I'm like, fuck, what was it that I liked about this movie? And all I could think about, you know what it was? At the time, this is one of the first movies that was being shot on a Red One camera. And both Neville Dean and Taylor were heavily involved with Red and testing the cameras out. You see a lot of that stuff throughout the movie where, well, I forget which one of it, if it was, which one of the two guys, I can't remember. If it was, I didn't know which one was Mark, which one was Brian. Another reason why they go by Neville Dean and Taylor, no one's being known as Mark and Brian for sure. Obvious reasons.
I mean, yeah exactly. Too. Maybe now they would want to be known as Mark and Brian.
So, I mean, look, we've talked about, you know, these guys before. Again, writers, just a year later, their script for Jonah Hex goes into production. You know, and we talked about that movie. Ironically, we think that all the production trouble that they had on Jonah Hex actually benefited the movie, since we didn't have to get extra story from it because it was just enough.
Yeah, there's too much going on in this movie. Is its biggest sin, if you will.
I think Gamer falls in the same line. I think this is what happens when you don't have production issues and you get a whole Neville Dean and Taylor script.
Or maybe you do have production, but I mean, again, I don't know. I don't know a lot about it. A lot of the crew that I had working for me on Terminator had rolled over from Gamer.
Right.
Like the guys that I had put, you know, in the train depot thing, they were totally familiar with it because they had shot tons of Gamer there. They knew the ins and outs of what we could do there and what we weren't allowed to do there. And oh God, please, why do I have to be in charge of that? I spent most of my time on Gamer here. I'm like, well, you're going to spend most of your time on Terminator here as well. So who knows, man? I'm not comparing the two movies. I just instantly, when I watch Gamer, I recognize that train depot. And I know the hell of what is involved in shooting that thing. But the movie's not interesting. It's other than Butler's quest. And there's never a moment where I think that he's not going to sort of face the same thing. You know, again, it hits all the same beats as Running Man. Already seen Running Man. I never think that him and Angie are not going to be reunited. There's just not a lot of, you know, by the time you get to the end of it, you're like, oh, okay, well, it's exactly where I thought I was going to end up. And There were no surprises all along the way.
Yeah. Shot in New Mexico, like you talked about, Albuquerque Studios was
brand new.
Part of that.
It was brand new then too. I mean, This might have been one of the first films to shoot in Albuquerque Studios on those sound stages.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with the location. I've never been there, but I'm familiar with what was shot there and things like that. A bunch of Marvel stuff was shot there too.
Yep.
And I think Breaking Bad was like one of the first things that they had.
Breaking Bad was happening, was in season 2 or 3 when we were shooting there.
Yeah. Book of Eli, well, we've talked about how much we really enjoy. But I didn't know this because I'm just not looking at the rundown. I didn't realize Netflix bought them like 6-7 years ago.
Oh yeah, they bought the studios. Yeah.
That's crazy. I had no idea. In town here, what do they have here?
They bought they bought what used to be the Culver Studios, I believe.
Right.
Over in Culver City.
Behind the Criterion movie theater over there.
See.
The thing about that's a bummer about this movie, you think it's just, you know, turn your brain off kind of fun, and it's just turn your brain off kind of dumb, and it's not a good thing. It sucks because Gerard it does show the strength of our main focus this month, and that's Gerard Butler, and he makes it watchable. He literally makes it watchable. He is like you said, and I've already said, I'm watching something different if he's not the guy and I'm sitting in the lead seat.
Exactly. I just sent you an article. It's funny. One day yesterday, this article came out, I think, on Friday or actually Saturday. Gerard Butler's best action films.
Oh,
look, we're not the only ones in tune with Gerard this month. You know, somehow Gamer made their list. Interesting. It's just something for you. You can cut this out. This is just something for you and I to look at. Or you can add it to the list later on or whatever you want to do. But I was like, oh, that's funny, man. Because there's two of the movies we're talking about are on this list. I can't believe Law Abiding Citizen. Gerard Butler is one of those guys people like him, dude. And it's because of what he brings with him to movies. You can suffer through a bad movie because of Gerard Butler, I guess. Isn't that, didn't we, he's the thing, man. He's like the everyman. He's got something, whatever it is about Gerard Butler that makes people sit and watch films like Gamer. Like again, like we both just said, if he wasn't in Gamer, we'd shut it off.
Anyway, so Gerard Butler, who is our focal point of this month, and we love the shit out of him.
Yeah, even in this.
Even this. I mean, he literally kept us watching a movie that we didn't want to watch anymore.
Right, like literally. This movie is firmly, I only reached the finish line because Butler's in the movie.
Yeah.
He carries the movie.
We've done this show before where we both watched a movie. We both watched them in there fully. I'm like, let's jettison this. Yeah, let's just bail. We bailed in the middle of doing it. We bailed.
Bailed literally at record time on with other movies. We didn't do that with this because
there's plenty of movies we could have like pivoted into anything.
We could have gone Den of Thieves. We could have gone Geostorm.
On the list. It's these things could have been touched on. And look, I've seen Geostorm. I like Geostorm more than this. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's better than this.
Yeah. That, I don't know. You know, this movie I don't know that it was never a movie I thought I'd ever needed to see again. But I thought it would be kind of fun to cover it during this month because again, it was available for people to look at. And I was like, maybe going back and looking at this movie, I would be like, oh, fuck, this movie is better than I remembered it. But it's not. It's exactly what I remember it being.
It is exactly that. And it's exactly what it was, what I saw 15 years ago.
And what it is.
And it has not aged well.
It hasn't aged. It hasn't gotten any better in the last 15 years. And in 5 more years, it's not going to be any better than it is now.
I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there right now. Look, there's no surprises here. None of the Olympus movies are coming. We're not doing any of the 3 movies.
Nope.
But it shows that Gamer, even though it's right at the beginning stages of people becoming more aware of who he is as a performer, it didn't derail his career because he just kept going. And he can make like movies and then still be entertaining. Because here's the thing about those 3 movies. They're all really good. They're all not really good, but they're all fun.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting. You watch this. I don't get what's promised to me. And again, we don't mind the little greatest hits thing. But if you don't use the right amount of ingredients or put some ingredients in there, or most importantly, put your own spin on it, it's not going to be worth your time.
Sure.
And unfortunately, this is 93 minutes. I don't like to say, I want back. It's a 93 minute reminder that
he made a lot of better movies than this.
He's made a lot of better movies. And right up to last year. So he's one of those guys that didn't let a movie that didn't necessarily do well derail him. He just kept doing what he's doing. And that just speaks to how strong he is in the public's eye when it comes to drawing people in to watch.
And we've made several comparisons to another Schwarzenegger film, Running Man. But you know what this is? This is Gerard Butler's raw deal.
Yeah.
Because as much as I love Raw Deal, it's not good.
No.
And it's early on in the Schwarzenegger's action campaign, right? And it didn't derail it. It wasn't so bad that people were like, oh, I don't ever want to see him. And neither is Gamer. Gamer is not so bad that you're like, oh, I don't want to see Gerard Butler in anything else. It's just kind of one of those things. If you want to deep dive Butler, it's a movie you could probably skip it.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of wish we would have, but we didn't. And here we are. And,
the thing was so funny. It was like this and Law Abiding Citizen, like we mentioned, they were both on
Oh yeah, they're Peacock. Both readily available on both Peacock. On
Peacock, and then when we April got to came, Law Abiding Citizen, you had to rent it, and then you're like, "Oh, and we're like, oh shit, man, Gamer's not here anymore." So now I'm going to tell you, "Oh shit, Gamer's on Tubi." So now you can avoid it. You don't feel like, I don't know. It's just,
well, here's the thing. I am glad. I mean, look, I don't mind having to pay the $3.99 for Law Abiding Citizen. It was well worth the $3.99.
Yeah.
This movie, if I had to pay $3.99, I would have been pissed.
Yeah.
I would have been like, God damn it, dude, we got to vet these things better or whatever. Or
yeah. If I would have used my Amazon credit for this.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I would have been pissed. I would have been like, son of a bitch. There's $3.99 I could have spent on something else.
Yeah. Like a good Nick Cage movie we've never seen before.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
Anyway,
that's Gamer.
The two movies we have coming afterwards are
both better than Gamer.
I can promise you, there's not going to be any argument from either one of us. It's going to be a love fest. And I really thought that was going. This was not put in there to give you a barometer.
No, it wasn't. This was, look, here's the thing. Again, we didn't have any problem when we picked the four movies. They all seemed like, you know, and again, I was wanting to take a look at this movie to see, because I felt like I was ambivalent to it. And now I know I don't like it. I don't ever care to see it again. I don't ever need to see it again.
Right. Isn't that weird though? You and I both came away with the same feeling. We were both kind of neutral about it. And realizing that usually your mind's telling you that something's better than it was, and but you liked it, and then you realize you're watching it and like, no, I don't like it.
No.
The ambivalence had a similar effect. Like, it made us think, for me, it's forget how not good it is.
Or why I was ambivalent to it. What was it about? Why did I just say it sucked? Yeah. Why did I ever try to pretend that I just don't like it. I mean, it's, again, we've talked about it all. We've covered it. I don't need to go back and revisit what we've already said. It's just, you know, it's a movie. It's a kind of a, you know, it's raw deal. It's Gerard Butler's raw deal.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
You know, this movie, we're going to use some Dino De Laurentiis.
Yeah. I'm going to say, you know, even saying it's raw deal is kind of being harmful to raw deal.
It's not cool, man.
Because at least Raw Deal gives you, there's two great moments in Raw Deal. One, you get the best use of the Stones' Satisfaction ever. And there's the classic line, you should not drink and bake. I didn't get that in this movie.
Too much drinking going on, not enough baking.
Yeah, dude. I mean, or maybe there's too much baking going on, but maybe you shouldn't drink and bake and direct. I don't know.
Just too much baking.
Too much baking, dude.
It was New Mexico.
Yeah, whatever.
There you go. Butler made me do it.
The butler made me do it. The butler did it.
Yeah. We can't blame him.
No, I'm saying, again, if he's not in this movie, I shut it off. We've said that multiple times. And I'm gonna stand on that right to the very end.
So you want to follow the show on the socials, you can follow us at Karate Pod on Twitter, Insta, and Letterboxd. If you want to follow Corey on Letterboxd, it's Corey_Culp. And on Instagram is Culprit97. And if you want to follow some other socials and other linkage, you can look at the bottom of our episode show notes under Karate in the Garage linkage, and you'll find everything there.
If you'd like to follow me on Instagram, I'm at rockandroller33. If you'd like to follow me on Letterboxd, I'm at Tom Cody on Letterboxd. If you'd like to follow me at Blue Sky, it's the real John Ladd at Blue Sky.